We are going to be in John chapter 9 today as we continue on through our series with Jesus meeting people and how it changes those people's lives. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we give you thanks for the truth that your word gives to us and the ways that your spirit works in our hearts and minds when we open your word. And Lord, we pray now that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, here's a question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to any people? Why do people get sick? Why are babies born with disease? Why do bad things happen to people who are just minding their own business? It's a question that's been asked for centuries. And the basic and most simple answer to it is we live in a sinful and broken world. The world is cursed. And until Jesus returns, this is how it's going to be. But Jesus is actually asked that question in the passage we're going to read today. And he's asked the question in relation to a man who was born blind. And I want you to think about this man for a few minutes, because think about the world he lives in. It's different from the world that we live in. There's no Braille. There's no audiobooks. There's no guide dogs. There's nothing in place to help disabled people live successful lives. There's nothing like that. And what would happen in that world is if the family couldn't take care of this person would end up having to become a beggar. And that's what happened to this guy. He was a beggar. He meets Jesus, and as has happened to all of us, when you meet Jesus, your life changes. And let's read this passage. It's John chapter 9. I'll begin with verse 1. It says this: as he, meaning Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." So they asked this question: Who sinned? Whose fault is this, that this man, this child was born into the world without sight? Whose fault is it? And at some level, it's kind of an insulting question. It's like, well, who are we looking to blame here? And Jesus says it's neither. It's not about the specific sins of the parents or the child. It's so that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, God had a plan. God knew what he was going to do, and God was going to do something that would bring honor and glory to himself and draw people to himself. No one had any idea what God was going to do with this man, but God had a plan. And it's true of everybody who has difficulty and pain and suffering. Why is it happening? I don't know, but God has a plan in it. And Jesus says something else. "While it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me." So in other words, instead of having a theological debate about why this man was blind, how about we help him, right? How about we do something about it, right? That's Jesus' statement. We must do the works while it is day. And what he means by this is while he's alive and on this earth, he said, night's coming, and that's crucifixion. But while I'm here, it's as if Jesus is saying, I'm going to do the works of the Father. And isn't that what we should be doing? While it is day, while you can still get up in the morning, shouldn't you do the works of the Father? Shouldn't you do the things that are loving and caring to the other person, instead of sitting around debating why, trust that God has a plan and God's going to do something in this person's life who's going through a difficult time. And then Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world. And there's a lot of symbolism and imagery here because this guy's eyes are opened, but he's also talking about things in a spiritual way. And I want to show you something. And we talked about this when I preached on John chapter 8 a number of months ago where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But we have to understand this light and darkness imagery. All right, and I want to show it to you. I'm assuming you haven't memorized my sermon on John chapter 8, so I'm going to review it a little bit. Darkness in the Bible has to do with Satan, who brought darkness into the world. He lied. He is evil. He brought suffering to the world. He brought death into the world. That's the darkness. And in John chapter 1, we read that those walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings in goodness and blessing and truth and love. See, when God created light in Genesis 1, what did he say? He saw the light and he said it was good. This is good. It brings things out into the open. And light in the Bible has to do with life. God creates, he creates light and then he creates everything else. Once you see light, you see everything else. And it all has to do with how he loves us. And I love the song that we sang this morning. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. And by the way, that wasn't planned. I didn't talk to Mark and Jeff. Well, it was planned. It wasn't planned by humans. Okay? So it's perfect. So when you're in darkness, when you're experiencing the pain and you're experiencing the suffering and you're going through that dark time, Jesus can bring light into that time. He's the light of the world. So, you know, instead of judging a person, love the person. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Mother Teresa. And whatever you think about Catholic theology, she was in the gutters with the people who were hurting. She didn't ask if they were Hindus or Buddhists. She just loved them. She just demonstrated love to them. And this light also has to do with truth. We have to remember that. Because in addition to loving a person also means telling them the truth. And this goes back to the Old Testament, and I showed you this picture a number of months ago. And this is a picture of what it might have looked like for the people of Israel. And they had the pillar of fire. And that pillar guided them through the wilderness. And the pillar, Jesus, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's telling them, I'm the new pillar. Follow me. Follow him to the truth. Follow him to the light. Follow him to blessing. And so he's telling them, he's the new Moses. He's the new leader, but he himself is the light. He leads us to the light. But we live in a dark world. We live in a world where there's pain. We live in a world where we're all kind of headed toward that dark day. And I want you to think about that for a minute. I was thinking about it yesterday. I ran in a 5K race yesterday with the kids to what I noticed. I looked at my time, and I looked at my per mile pace, and I'm 46. And I noticed that my per mile time pace is 1 minute slower than it was when I was 26. Can you imagine that? All right. And my kids' times, they're getting better, and they're going to keep getting better. And you reach that point, okay, about 30 years old. Professional athletes, statistically, their best years are between 25 and 30. That's when the body works the best. Unless you're Tom Brady, then it lasts till 40. But he's still going to go down. There's going to come a day when he no longer plays for the Pats. Okay, he's still going to go down. Why is that the case? Because we're all dying. We're all living in a dark world, and our bodies are getting slower and weaker. And as much as I am going to fight against that, as long as I can, I am fighting that, as long as I am able to. But that's the way we're going. Because we live in this world, there's darkness here. But Jesus brings light to this guy's life. And what I love about it here, and there's some stuff in here that you may not get the first time you read it. And I have to tell you, when I prepare for a sermon, God speaks to me through his word. And I just get so excited to tell you on Sunday. Sometimes I say, I can't wait till Sunday. Wait till I tell them this, because this is awesome, right? And this is exciting. So God speaks to me so that I can speak to you, and then hopefully you can get excited. So Jesus makes mud out of his spit. This seems weird, okay? But I want to show you some things. The word that's used for the dirt and the mud there is the same word that's used for the dust that God created Adam out of. So I want you to think about this. Here you have Creator in the flesh. He comes up to this guy who can't see. Let me fix that. I'm the Creator, okay? And just like I took the dust out of the earth thousands of years ago and made Adam, I'm going to take this dust, and like he breathed into Adam, he spits on it, and he creates this mud. He is the Creator who is healing, who has the power and authority to do this. He is the Creator in the flesh. That's part of the spiritual light that Jesus brings. Once you realize that he is God in the flesh, it changes everything for you. And I want to tell you today that he can heal everything. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever pain that you're having, he can. Now, he doesn't always do it exactly the way we want him to. But trust in him. He has this power. And so when you see this passage, and that's what the mud is all about. And there's something else that the mud is all about. Because you'll notice that Jesus does this on the Sabbath. And we read another passage where he healed a woman on the Sabbath and people got upset. But just to make the point, Jesus, in effect, works on the Sabbath. Because they have all these little rules that they've made up, all the religious people, about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath day. And one of them is kneading dough and working with your hands. So Jesus, just to show them that you can actually love and heal a person on the Sabbath, he takes the mud. He could look at the guy and say, open your eyes, and his eyes would open, right? But he takes the mud and he works, in effect. And he puts it on their eyes, and then he tells the guy to go work. First you got to travel to this place called Siloam, and then you got to wash it off. So in the eyes of the religious folks, they worked. But they didn't break the law at all. Jesus says in other places, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? Jesus loved the guy, and he healed the guy on the Sabbath. And so it creates this huge uproar. And they bring the guy in, who healed you? And they ask him a ton of questions. And then they accuse him, you're not the guy. And he says, yes, I am the guy. And finally in verse, and they bring in his parents. And they bring his parents in and say, was this the kid that was born blind? And so they go through this whole thing, and they interrogate the parents. You know, this should be the guy's happiest day of his life. And these religious guys are interrogating them. And here's what the guy says in verse 25. And they ask him if he thinks Jesus is a sinner. He says, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. But I was blind and now I see. That's the testimony. And you all here have a testimony. I used to be this way, now I'm this way. I used to care about these things, now I care about these things. Now I see. And we have the opportunity to reflect God's love to people around us. And I want to show you what else. I want to read a few verses later on in the passage. Verse 35 to 41. And this is after they threw this guy out. They kicked him out. The religious people. Imagine this. Should be the happiest day of this guy's life. And in verse 35 it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And I want to tell you about something else that has to do with what Jesus is saying here when he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? This is a specific title, and it comes from Daniel chapter 7. And when you read Daniel chapter 7, I don't know how you can come out to any conclusion that it's about Jesus, but it's 500 to 600 years before Jesus came into the world. So I want to show you Daniel chapter 7. And this is Daniel looking, and he sees a vision from God. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So we have Jesus coming on the clouds of, we have the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. coming to the Ancient of Days, God the Father. And he is given authority, glory, and sovereign power, and he's worshipped by people of every nation. Now, here is my question. I read this passage, and I've talked with people who are Jewish, who believe only in the Hebrew Old Testament Bible, and I don't know what they do with this one. Because here you have one who looks like a person who is also being worshipped by people from every nation. Who is this? Who could this be? Sunday school answer? Jesus, right? Right? So who could this be? And so when Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He's talking about that guy that should be worshipped from every nation in the world. He is talking about God in the flesh. And it's just a beautiful picture. And Jesus says, I'm the one. And it says the guy worshipped him. That's what opening his eyes is about. And it says here, for judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. And when it says those who see, he's talking about those who think they see. The religious people think they have eyes. They don't. But he's opening up the eyes spiritually of people who are willing to humble themselves. So as I think about all of this, here is what I think. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus brings hope in the darkness. We sang that this morning. We are to reflect that hope to the world. So think about it for a second. Think about it in the sense that, like, think about the sun in the sky. And when we see the moon at night, we're not seeing the moon's light. We're seeing the sun's light reflected back to us. The moon is a rock, right? Just a big rock up in the sky. We are to reflect that light, that love, that truth to everybody around us. And I want to show you a couple passages because here's what I think is really cool. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but he also says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus gives off the light. Jesus is your light. He's your strength. He's your truth. You take that in. You reflect that out to the world. You are a living testimony to that truth. And it also says in Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. We are to live as children of the light. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the words of Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You guys know who that was written by? John Newton? John Newton was a slave trader. John Newton was in charge of a ship that took humans from Africa back to Europe and sold them. He was in human trafficking. I cannot think of a more despicable way to make a living. I can't. And he refers to himself, as he looked back on that time in his life, the most blasphemous person in the world, because he would think of new ways to blaspheme God's name. And Jesus got a hold of him. He became a Christian. He became a pastor. He became a hymn writer. And he also became influential in the abolition of slavery in England. That's what it looks like when darkness turns to light. That's what it looks like when your eyes are opened and you see. And instead of seeing these people as objects to be sold, he saw them as human beings created in God's image. And it changed him. And he began to tell people about Jesus. And that's what light is about, telling people that Jesus, in fact, is the way, the truth, and the life. That is what it's about. It's loving people with your actions, and it's telling people about Jesus. It's telling the truth that he is the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. But it's also loving people. It's also caring for people, because we do live in a dark world. And as I was thinking about this this week, I was thinking about my grandmother, and I'll apologize to my mother in advance for bringing her up, but my grandmother lived to be 96, and toward the end of her life, she was really failing. All the systems were failing. The list of illnesses and diseases were just a page long. Terrible arthritis, just terrible pain. That's the darkness of this world. And really difficult. Although she loved the Gospel of John. She read it daily. And what I saw as a teenager, as a teenage boy, we had one car in our family, and my dad took it to work. And my mother walked 3+ miles a day, to the nursing home and back. Why? To give light, to show light, and to, with her actions, and not only showing it to her mother, showing it to her family. My mom's not going to preach a sermon anytime soon. At least I don't think so. But I've been listening to her sermon for 46 years. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's what it is to bring light into the darkness. And you know, I was thinking about something else this week. I went to the CareNet dinner, CareNet Pregnancy Crisis, and they had a big dinner, a fundraiser. And I just want to tell you, it's a good, great organization. And I think about what these people do. They bring women and girls in who are scared, who are stressed, who are at one of the most difficult points in their life, and they love them, and they care for them, and they help bring babies into the world. The world will tell you, yeah, you don't need that baby, but these people who have Jesus' love and light in their hearts say, no, no, we'll help you. We'll come alongside you. We'll care for you, and we will help care for your baby. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. And the Lord wants us to love people from the womb to the tomb, from the very start of life when people are so delicate to the very end of life when people are so delicate. And everywhere in the middle, we are to display this love. We are God's reflectors. We do that by speaking the truth about Jesus and loving people the way Jesus did. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've given us this example of this man. Lord, we rejoice. 2,000 years later, we rejoice with this man. When the other religious people kicked him out, we rejoice with him. We rejoice that we will see him one day, that his eyes were open to your truth. And not only was he healed physically, but Lord, he has eternal life, as do we. And Lord, I pray that we would be reflectors to everybody around us and demonstrate your light and your love, and that we would bring hope to the darkness. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.